a perfect mediator, God's holiness is unbearable. Without a perfect mediator, God's holiness is unbearable. This is the time we've set aside, as we do on each first day of the week, to remember Jesus' sacrifice. And we owe it to Jesus every week to discipline our minds to the best, to the utmost of our ability, to glorify what he has done for us. To glorify him in spirit, with all of our being, in truth. This is not just a ritual. This is not just something that we gather and we go through the motions of doing. God forbid that we would ever become complacent. Because if we become complacent in our worship, all of it, for this memorial to Jesus, we're not worthy to participate. Since we've begun our study in the book of Leviticus, I've been thinking a lot about Jesus, most especially this week. We see the imperfections of the people trying to keep the old law. And we should take our minds to Jesus. And specifically, I've thought about Leviticus chapter 16. Those specific sacrifices. And how tedious that appears to be in our eyes today. But it makes me think and appreciate the multiple aspects of Jesus' atoning sacrifice. We don't have to be concerned about those specific sacrifices because of Jesus' once and for all atoning sacrifice. And in chapters 21 and 22 of Leviticus, we read about the priesthood. And that foreshadows our high priest, the ultimate high priest, Jesus. And those, just those two topics alone, are worth spending much time in secret prayer and meditation before God, thanking him for what Jesus has done. Behold what Jesus has done. But as I consider the whole of Leviticus, I am and have been for a while now intrigued by the holiness of God. And I reflect on chapter 11, verse 45, where God told the Israelites that he brought them up out of Egypt to be their God. And he said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." Now, as we diligently seek to learn more about our God, we see throughout the Bible different ways that God has described himself. He is light, he's love, and many, many infinite things beyond our comprehension. But I wonder why. I wonder why, in this instance, God told his people, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." For those who haven't studied on it very much, or may not be too familiar with the holiness of God, how could we possibly comprehend it? How could we possibly comprehend how God has described himself in this verse? But as we discussed this morning, he's set apart. He's set apart from sin, but he's also set apart from all of his creation. so different than all of his creation. And we can't qualify or quantify this holiness of God, but we've got to try to understand. Because as Peter reminded us in 1 Peter 1:15-16, that we should be holy, for God told his people that he is holy in Leviticus. And what about the Hebrew writer who proclaimed in chapter 12 and verse 14, pursue holiness, without which no one will see God. Beloved, that is a sobering thought. It should make us sit up in our seat and consider, what does it mean to pursue holiness? Because if we don't, we will not see God. I ask you to do a mental exercise for me. Just answer to yourselves, obviously. But if you could have one wish for yourself, one wish for yourselves in this world, what would you wish for? If you could wish for anything and have anything for yourself, what would you wish for? Now, how many of us wish to see God's face? Without the sacrifice of Jesus, beloved, we're not going to see God's face. Behold what Jesus has done. His sacrifice will allow us to see God's face someday. Yeah. And can there be any greater wish? Can there be any greater desire for ourselves than to see God's face? So why is this significant? You remember what God told Moses when Moses asked to see his glory? In Exodus chapter 33:20, he said, no man can see my face and live. And when you consider throughout the scriptures, just a few encounters where people came in contact with a holy God. Exodus 3:6, Moses hid his face when God appeared in the burning bush. Ezekiel in chapter 1:28 saw the appearance of the likeness of God's glory and he fell on his face. Isaiah in chapter 6 saw a vision of God and he cried out because he was so unclean. And you notice in that vision, as was mentioned this morning, that the heavenly beings, the seraphim, they covered their faces around the throne of God. And Paul in Acts chapter 9, verses 7 to 9, he was blinded by the glory of Jesus. And John in Revelation 1:17, when he saw the glory of Jesus, he fell at his feet as if he were dead. And Jesus returns in all his glory, and all his angels with him. We don't know what we will become, but in an instant, we will be changed and we will be like him. And we will see him as he is. We won't ever die in his presence because we have a perfect mediator who will allow us to bear the holiness of God. Behold what Jesus has done.